This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I'd like to present Dr. Kelly Fielding. She's also from the CSIRO. She is visiting scientist of the Social and Economic Sciences Research Program at the CSIRO Sustainable Ecosystems Institute for Social Science Research at the School of Psychology in the University of Queensland. If I'd been given another week, maybe I would have memorised that. But for now, welcome Dr. Fielding.
Thank you. What was it again? Shane? No, just kidding. thank you, Leanne, for inviting me to be part of the panel today. I'm going to say at the outset that it's not my role today to tell you whether recycled water is good or bad. I'm not an expert on the relative riskiness or safety of the product. What I'm really interested in is how do people respond to recycled water, especially recycled water for drinking purposes, for potable use, in other words. Now, you might be sort of sitting there thinking, well, you know, why do we need to do research about that? Why do we really need to know how people think about this? And I think that if I show you a little quote from a former commissioner of the National Water Commission, John Radcliffe, I think it really nicely sums up why we need to know more about this. So John Radcliffe says, "The issue isn't about producing safe recycled water at a risk level that's low enough that it doesn't constitute a serious risk. The issue is the public perception of drinking bleep." And I think that the little graphic here also kind of visually sums up those sort of concerns. And so we can see from this quote that public acceptance of recycled water is really a critically important issue for the successful introduction of recycled water schemes. And none of us, I think, in the audience have to think very long or very hard to come up with examples of recycled water schemes that have been essentially not introduced because of public opposition. So we've already mentioned the top of the mind example, which is Toowoomba, of course, and Simon said before that in southeast Queensland we have a lot of infrastructure. We could pump that recycled water into the dam, but it's currently not going there because in the face of rising public opposition, the Queensland government decided it should only be introduced as an emergency measure. So that raises some really interesting social science questions about the nature of people's beliefs about recycled water and about, you know, the reasons that they support it or don't support it. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about some research that I've been conducting with colleagues from the CSIRO, the University of Queensland and Griffith University. And this research is focused specifically on what is called the Purified Recycled Water Scheme in southeast Queensland. So I'm going to give you a bit of an overview on our research and the findings. I'll just say up front that this research was a combination of telephone interviews that we conducted with over 1,000 people around southeast Queensland, as well as face-to-face focused group-type discussions with over 250 people. So let me start by giving you a little bit of a feel of how people were thinking about this purified recycled water scheme at the time we did our research. And I should say that that research was between November 2007 and December 2008. So when we look at this graph, the green bars are the number of people who said in response to a question, would you drink the water that contains purified recycled water? They said, yep, no problems. The yellow bars are the people who said, well, I'm really not sure. And the red bars of the people said, no way, not drinking it. And you can see, therefore, that there are in excess of 70% of people across all of the surveys said, yes, I'll drink it. Now, we have to remember, though, that these results are, or put them in context. And the context was that southeast Queensland was in the grips of one of the worst droughts in history. The dams were at record low levels. And so I think that we can interpret these sorts of results to some extent as representing or reflecting people's sense that it was a necessity, okay, and not necessarily because they had overwhelmingly positive attitudes to the idea of drinking recycled water. And if we have a look at this other graph, which is the percentage of people who agreed with the question, given a choice, I wouldn't drink water that contained the purified recycled water. And you can see that a majority of people agreed, yes, if I had a choice, I wouldn't drink the water that contained recycled water. So I think that those two graphs reflect the type of ambivalence that people felt at the time about the scheme that was proposed. Now, for me, the more interesting question, because market researchers could tell you this sort of information, is, well, why do people support or not support, or why do they sit on the fence about these schemes? And what our research shows is that there are a number of factors. And even though these factors are in relation to the scheme in Southeast Queensland, there is other research about public acceptance of recycled water, and the same sort of factors keep coming up. So there's a kind of fair amount of consensus about what it is that underpins people's attitudes about recycled water. And you can see these are things like trust and emotion, support from important others, fairness, and critically, of course, risk. So what I want to do in the remaining time is just take you very briefly through those, an overview of those factors, just to give you a bit of a sense of the sort of things that, the ways that people are feeling about these things. Let's start, though, by talking about emotion. Now, this is the one that the media really focuses on, the yuck factor, the emotional kind of disgust that people feel about the idea of drinking recycled water. Now, psychologically, this yuck factor reflects this kind of emotion of disgust. And we tend to feel disgust when we're going to come in contact with things that we think are unpleasant. And the sort of quote here from one of our participants sort of reflects this idea that people think, well, you know, the yuck factor, it's on everyone's mind. Now, I think that this the primacy, I suppose, in some people's minds of the sort of emotional responses to recycled water is really reflected in the sort of terminology that's used by the proponents and opponents of recycled water schemes. So the proponents, people like the Singapore government, call their water new water. And in Southeast Queensland, we call it purified recycled water. So you can see that there's a real focus in that terminology on the idea of a sort of pure product. You know, you can always, when you think new water, it almost sounds like it's come down from some sort of spring from the mountain. On the other hand, the opponents talk about from the toilet to the tap and recycled sewage. So they're really kind of taking you back and getting you to think about, you know, where did the water come from? Where is the sort of a proponents are thinking, are drawing your attention to what the water becomes, which is this very pure product in their minds. So, of course, emotion is important, but it's not the only factor. And I'm going to get some of that very precious H2O to lubricate my mouth. Another really critically important factor is trust. Okay, so we're all exposed to heaps of information every day. We can't take it all in, so we often take things on trust. We decide whether we're going to accept a policy on the basis of whether we trust the people who are actually espousing that policy. What our research shows, and the research of many other people, is that the trust that you have in the government to deliver you with a safe water supply, the trust that you have in scientists to do good research and tell you that it's a safe product, is really something that underpins whether you support this sort of scheme. So a lot of people said to us, look, you know, I don't think that the government would kind of do the wrong thing by us, you know, give us unsafe water. They said things like, well, you know, scientists sometimes disagree, but for the most part, you know, you've got to go with what they say. On the other hand, some people said scientists have been wrong in the past, you know, just look at cane toads and thalidomide, you know, they can be wrong again. So whether people trust the science, whether they trust government to supply safe water is really important in terms of whether they're willing to accept the water. And it's really important for influencing how risky they think the water is. Now, risk, not surprisingly, is a really critical determinant of whether people are willing to accept a recycled water scheme, especially for potable or drinking water purposes. People don't really care very much about recycled water if you're going to use it to irrigate the sort of soccer fields close by. It's only when they're going to come into personal contact that they really care. There's a couple of different types of risks that people think about. One, and it sort of came up in Simon's talk, is the idea of system risk. People recognise that that the system is operated by people and that people make mistakes and therefore the system can break down. And so there's a risk that comes from the fact that the water is recycled through a system. And then, of course, you know, systems break down, then you have health risk concerns. And probably one of the critical issues for people in relation to recycled water is it going to hurt my health? Can they really effectively remove all those hospital waste, the pathogens, to a safe level so that it's not going to harm me and the people who are closer to me and people in general? So risk is this kind of critical issue that really determines whether people accept or don't the recycled water schemes. I mentioned fairness before. People do have issues about fairness. I'll just go back up. In terms of, you know, was the decision-making, you know, did the government go through a proper consultation process? Will it disadvantage people in the community? So that also impacts on people's levels of acceptance. And then finally, we all like to think that we march to the beat of our own drum. Okay, so the reality is, though, if we all did that, the world would be a very chaotic and anarchic place. So we're all influenced by the people around us. And as I said before, we're exposed to lots and lots of information and we can't process it all. So often we look to the people around us to try to help us with our decisions about what we should think about certain things. So, you know, your husband or wife might have a great interest in this and they do a lot of research about it and they say, oh, I think it's a safe thing, I have no problem. Or they might say, hey, I don't like this, I think it's too risky. And probably what they think might have a big influence on what you think. Not always. Might not always be your partner. It might be a friend. We certainly at one focus group had a couple who came along and she was from Toowoomba actually and she voted for and he voted against. So that is possible. But we are influenced by people around us. And if we move in circles where people are going, I don't have a problem with this, I think it's a really good idea in fact, we're probably more likely to think it's a good thing. If we move in circles where people say, you know, I don't actually think it's a good thing, I think it's too risky, we're probably likely to reflect their opinions to some extent. So let me just finish off by kind of giving you a little bit of an overview of what a supporter in our research looked like. A supporter was somebody who trusted government and science to deliver a healthy and safe water supply. They were someone who had fairly positive emotions to the recycled water scheme. They thought it was fair. They didn't really think it was risky. And they didn't think anything was very likely to go wrong with the system. But if it did, they thought the government could actually respond to it pretty quickly. On the other hand, and in contrast, the opponents were people who had strong distrust of government and scientists. They had strong negative emotions about the scheme. They thought it was unfair. They didn't get consulted. They thought there were high risks and they thought it was very likely that something would go wrong. So that gives you a little bit of a kind of postage stamp snapshot of the research we've done. Hopefully it's been informative. I'm happy to take questions later. Thank you.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.